السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to this week's English khutbah, and the topic is those who are close from the relatives. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, the most generous, the most exalted, who has commanded us to keep relations with Dhil Qurba, those who are closest to us. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of absolute love, adoration and worship except Allah, the One, the utterly unique, having no partners in His oneness, the Master of all, the True, the One who clarifies and makes clear all things. And I bear witness that our Master, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the slave of Allah and His Messenger. O Allah, send Your prayers, blessings and grace upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and upon his family, the pure, and all his companions, and whomsoever follows them in the best of ways till the last day. Amma ba'd, to continue. I advise you, slaves of Allah, and myself, with an awe-filled consciousness of Allah, for verily Allah says,
يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَّفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا.
O mankind, fear your Lord, who created you from one soul, and created from it its mate, and dispersed from both of them many men and women. And fear Allah, through whom you ask one another about, and the wombs. Indeed, Allah is ever over you, Raqiba, an observer. O you who believe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to embody taqwa, and especially to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to the arham, the connections that we have with the literally womb relations around us. For when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us to account, especially in the domain of relationships, then the first priority and the first people amongst whom we're held accountable about are those who are closest in kin, closest in relationship to us. And this is why whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us to embody ihsan, which is goodly conduct, excellent behavior, excellent embodiment, then He orders this to start with those who are closest to us. And this is evidenced by many different verses of the Quran. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, worship Allah, make ibadah of Allah, and do not associate anything other with Him. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala couples this command by saying, and with your parents show ihsan, show goodly conduct. And then He says, وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى, and to the relatives, وَالْيَتَامَى, and the orphans, وَالْمَسَاكِينَ, and the needy and poor, وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى, and the near neighbors, and the verse continues so on. So the idea of the accountability first being determined by those who are closest to us is simply the nature of humanity. Often, we actually only reveal ourselves in our most intimate relationships. It's very easy to adopt the persona, and the word persona literally means mask, the outward behavior with certain people who are distant from us, certain people we interact in our workplaces, certain people we see on the streets and roads, and so we literally embody a kind of mask. We let people think that we are like this. But if you want to know how a person really is, then how is that person in his house with his family? How is that person in the intimacy of those who he can finally be himself with? And when he's himself, then his real khuluq, his real character comes out. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually says that we are held accountable precisely by the degree of how we embody Islam in those most intimate relationships. It's not those distant relationships that we're held accountable to. It's those intimate relationships. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. That indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders justice and good conduct. And then he says, وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. And the giving, the literal giving to the relatives. Because if justice and conduct is not established, if justice and goodly behavior is not established amongst those who are qareeb, those who are close to you, then how can you hope for justice and goodly conduct from those who are far? If you're able, if you find that you are unjust and you are a tyrant to those who are close to you, and then all of a sudden you're Mr. Polite and Mr. Justice to those who are far, then this is not justice. This is a type of nifaq. This is a type of hypocrisy. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always brings that imperative of the need to show good relations to the relatives as being amongst the first of the things that we are asked to do. And so it is with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to the hadith that he narrates on the same issue. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enjoins you to be dutiful to your mothers. And he repeated that again by saying, then he enjoins you to be dutiful to your mothers. In other words, the responsibility to the mothers is more and more than anyone else, simply because of the closeness of that relationship. And then he said, then he enjoins you to be dutiful to your fathers. And then he said, then he enjoins you to be dutiful. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam literally said, ثُمَّ يُوصِيكُمْ بِالْأَقْرَبِ فَالْأَقْرَبِ. He said, then he enjoins you to be dutiful to your most closest relatives and then to the most closest after that. In other words, there is literally a sequence in terms of huquq, in terms of rights, as who has more right over you with regards to your good conduct. And so this is important for us to know. And one of these is from this silsilat al-huquq, from this lineage of rights, is the literal importance for us to honor the lineages that we have from both our mothers and our fathers. And so from either sides we find uncles, aunts and the cousins, and all of this comes under that dhil qurba. All of this comes under the state of being connected and close. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ammu rajuli sinu abihi. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the uncle of a man, of a person, is the sin. Sinwu is literally, just as you have a palm tree, sometimes you'll find that from one single root you'll have two or three palm trees coming out. And this sinwu is literally the separate palm tree that comes out from the same root. And here what's indicated by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam using this metaphor is, do not forget that your uncle, right, and by extension you could also say the maternal aunt, come from that same root. All right, and so in that regards, he is just like your father. There has to be an honoring just like your father. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in another hadith is reported to have said, al-khalatu bimanzilatil ummi. He said that the maternal aunt holds the same status as the mother. In other words, that this loving relationship, we have to get it right. We have to get it right with those closest to us. We have to be able to build homes and families and extended families of closeness. This is a religious imperative. This is something we have to strive to do. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the dhil qurba. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَآتِي ذَا الْقُرْبَ حَقَّهُ وَالْمِسْكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. He said, so give the close relative his right, as well as the needy and the traveller, and that is better for those who read, who yuriduna wajha Allah, those who truly desire the countenance, truly desire Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so wa ulaika humul muflihun, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says those are the ones who are successful means he's tied in falah, all success, be it in this world and the next, with the embodying of this character, being good to the relatives. And this goes across many things. This goes across what you spend. This goes across what you give of your time, badal al-nufusi, giving of yourself, your effort and everything, as well as your mal, as well as your wealth. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ. They ask you, what should we spend upon? قُلْ مَا أَنفَقْتُم مِّنْ خَيْرٍ فَلِلْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَبَنَ السَّبِيلِ وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِّنْ خَيْرٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they ask you, i.e. the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what should they spend? How should they spend? And say, whatever you spend of good, make it for the parents, the relatives, the orphans, the needy, and the traveler. And whatsoever you do of good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all knowing. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, regards to this spending, regards to this looking after, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ibda bi nafsika fatasaddiq alayha fa in fadala shay'un fali ahlika fa in fadala an ahlika shay'un, then he said, then you make it for qarabatika. He said, make that for your relatives. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, start with your own self and spend it on your own self. And if anything is less, it should be spent on your family. And if anything is less, left after that, after meeting the needs, then you should spend on relatives. And so on and so on. You spend like this. And when he says start with yourself, he doesn't mean israf. Doesn't mean, you know, be hedonistic and buy everything you want. No, he means basic needs. When you met your needs, then look to the needs of those closest to you. And that is your family. And then look to the needs of them who are your qarab. Qarabatika, those who are from your relatives that are beyond your family, and so on and so on, because this concentric idea of circles of care builds from those closest to you. And it's important that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started off by saying start with yourself, because if you're not able to show compassion to yourself, if you're not able to embody a degree of self-care, you can't care for anyone else if you're not grounded in yourself. And this is also from the just the basic elements of how we look after yourself. Sometimes you're in a plane and it says put the seatbelt on yourself before you look after someone else, because sometimes when you forget to look after yourself, you're not able to be of aid to someone else. And this is very important that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, and this was something taken by the Sahaba, because they would start looking for other people and looking to see how, once their own needs were fulfilled, they could be of service and need to fulfill as many people around them in their vicinity as possible. And so we see this famous hadith in which one of the Sahaba, Abu Talha, he was from the Ansar of Medina, and he possessed a tremendously large property. And amongst this property, that which he valued the most was a garden, and that garden was opposite the mosque of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would often visit and drink of its beautiful sweet water. And so when this the verse of the Quran came down that you will not attain taqwa until you give freely of what you love, Abu Talha got up and he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said that this verse has come down, and that which I most love is this garden, and so I give it as sadaqah to Allah and His Messenger, and I hope for reward in it, and so give it away. He wanted to give it away to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And often the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this shows the spirit of the Sahaba, that they would be giving away that which they love dearly, and that which they specifically for the benefit of others. And this is the spirit of Sadaqatul Jariyah. But on this occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what he said was, he said, ذَلِكَ مَالٌ رَابِحٌ. He said, this is a profitable deal, i.e. to give for others is a profit, really profitable. It's profitable in this life and the next, because you're building about hal jaza'ul ihsan ila al-ihsan. It's not the doing of good, the bringing about of good. And he said it twice. He said, ذَلِكَ مَالٌ رَابِحٌ. He said, that is a profitable deal. Right, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Qad sami'tu ma qulta fiha." He said, "I've heard what you've said about this. You want to give away this garden for the sake of Allah." But then he said, "Wa inni ara an taj'alaha fil aqrabin." He said, "But I think that you should spend it for your nearest relatives." And this is the part of the irshad of the Prophet ﷺ, that with some sahaba he favored for them to give everything for Allah and his messenger. The famous narrations of Sayyidina Abu Bakr coming and he gave entirety of his wealth and he said, I left Allah and his messenger for my family. And the Prophet ﷺ affirmed him in that because he knew his degree of his iman and sidq. That's why he was a siddiq, was at a level where this was proportionate to him. He was of that maqam. But for other sahaba, the Prophet ﷺ realized that the better way for them is to adopt this graded dimension of huquq, to be looking after themselves and looking after their families, and only when that stability is ensured, then to take that additional step. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ in this case, he advised Abu Talha radiallahu anhu to distribute it amongst his families, and the hadith goes on to say that Abu Talha distributed it amongst the nearest relatives and his cousins on his father's side. Likewise, we find that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu acquired some land at Khaybar, and he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and consulted him about it. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "In shi'ta habasta aslaha wa tasaddaqta biha." He said, "If you wish," now he said, "you can literally habast, you can literally freeze it, literally as in you give it away in sadaqatul jariyah." Now here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, regards to Sayyidina Umar, is saying, having his acquired land, he's advising him not just to portion it away from himself and his family, but to say, freeze the asset. Like basically, literally, and this is the whole idea of waqf, to give something perpetually for Allah. So it involves a kind of endowment of that property, of that asset, and its benefits, its use, being used for the benefit of whatever the khair that you have stipulated it to be. And so in this example, the Sayyidina Umar was advised by the Prophet ﷺ to give this land literally to some kind of perpetual endowment. And when he did this, this was now given away, and so it should not be sold, given or inherited by anyone, because it's now given in charity in perpetuity forever to whoever is needed. And in this case, the Prophet ﷺ specified, i.e. the poor, relatives, slaves, wayfarers, guests, and someone who manages this land can take a small portion of fee. But this was an idea of how. Now, in one instance, we find the Prophet ﷺ telling Abu Talha to portion that land for his relatives, and another instance, he's telling Sayyidina Umar, give it away for not only your relatives, but for a perpetual benefit for specific groups of people who are, once again, from the Quran, the relatives, the needy, the wayfarers, the orphans, and so on. And so this is the beauty of the Prophet ﷺ, that his guidance would vary depending on who's asked. But in either case, we see the topic of this khutbah being emphasized, that the Prophet ﷺ was emphasizing the role of supporting and looking after relatives. And this is why when the Prophet ﷺ was asked by one of the Sahabiyah, Zainab, radiallahu anha, she said, "I asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will it be accepted as charity on my part if I spend on my husband and the orphans in my care?" And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ajrul qarabati wa ajrul sadaqa." He said, "She will have two rewards, not just the reward of spending, but she will have the reward of spending for charity and the reward of what? Ajrul qaraba, a reward of upholding the ties of kinship." And so this is very important, brothers and sisters, and we'll end with this hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, "Ahlul jannati thalatha," that the people of Jannah are three types, and he mentioned those three types. He said, "Warajulun rahimun raqiqul qalb." He said, a man who shows mercy. رقيق القلب literally means softness of heart. لكل ذي قربة, to every one of those of his relatives who are close to him. And this is one of those categories of people who are Ahlul Jannah. And so may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourage us and give us the ability to be raqiqul qalb, to have soft hearts, to be people of mercy, starting with our wives and families, then our children, and then extending with our parents and all around, all those around us in that family network. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestow upon us from His vast bounty and generous kindness the ability to be real human beings. This is what Islam is calling us to. In a world of atomism, where families are breaking apart, in a world where selfishness and individualistic desires are being maximized and given as the way to live, put yourself first. Islam makes the opposite. It says put Allah first, and putting Allah first embodies a way of living that fulfills the huquq of everyone you come into contact with, and the huquq of the entire cosmos and universe. And that starts with our families, brothers and sisters. That starts with our families. We can't fool ourselves. We can't pretend that we're pious and religious, and we can't even start just making our homes places of rahmah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that ability. Saying these things can really pain our hearts, because it brings the reality of this deen home. It brings it home right down to your home. Where is the deen in your home? Where is the deen in your relationship with your wife? Where is the deen in your relationship with your parents, with your children? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to be amongst those who are devoutly obedient to Him, to enable us to be of service to the way of His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to be in obedience and service of those He has ordered us to be in obedience to. I say this and I ask Allah for forgiveness for me and for you, so invoke Him for forgiveness, for He's the most forgiving, the most merciful. And with that comes to an end this week's English khutbah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This khutbah was brought to you by Idha'at al-Quran, Abu Dhabi.